Greetings once more from the hills of La Jolla. We're in the midst of the holiday season now, and of course many have had their Thanksgiving dinner by candlelight, partly to conform to the request of the president that we conserve energy. In this world energy crisis, we are brought face to face with an important fact. In the kingdom of God, there is no crisis. The Father has said, "Son, all that I have is thine." It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The kingdom of grace, the kingdom of infinite energy, the kingdom of abundance. But we on earth have turned away from the Father, and now we declare that we are in the midst of a crisis. Be assured of this, that there is no crisis of energy, except in the world of atoms in which the human consciousness lives. If anything, the world crisis tells us that man is running this country and this world, that God is not running this country and this world. It underlines for us that we as a race of people are not living in the kingdom of God. And it also underlines for us who are students of the infinite way the great difference between living in the kingdom of the Spirit, where energy is unlimited, and living in the kingdom of atoms, where there is a lack of supply. Now we are in a great turning point in consciousness. And within the next 3 years, you are going to be called upon to either walk freely in the kingdom of unlimitation as the living Spirit of God, or you are going to have to turn in your credentials as a student and confess that you never did accept the infinite way. All of us who have come this far are now being asked to do something very special. You are being asked to redouble your efforts, and not without purpose. The point we are coming to may very well be a point of judgment day, a point in which you are chosen or not chosen, depending upon where you stand in your spiritual light. And I am making this very specific so that you understand specifically what is required of you. A letter came asking what in the first chapter of Revelation was the meaning of Jesus was the firstborn of the dead. And I'm glad that letter came, because that's what we're going to discuss today. And it's what we're going to face today. When we are living in a world where there is a shortage, we are also living in that world which the Bible calls the land of the dead. They are not using the phrase allegorically. When we are told that Jesus was the firstborn of the dead, we are told that he came out of this world of deadness into life. We are being told that until we follow the firstborn, we are the dead. Any of us who have accepted the energy crisis as a reality are stating that we are not the Christ of God. We are not the Spirit of God. We are not the children of God. There is no shortage in Christ. And if Christ is not your name and you are experiencing a shortage, that is the reason. Whenever we deny our own spiritual identity, we are going to face shortages of many kinds. Sometimes there will be a shortage of supply, other times a shortage of health, other times a shortage of love. These will be the famines, the lacks, the poverty that we experience in the state of duality. And the world today, in its state of duality, is showing forth this shortage. We are really not facing a shortage at all. We are facing our separation from God. We are facing an untruth. We are facing a universal belief that God is withholding something from man. But the Father is pouring. Grace is flowing. Infinite consciousness is present. And whoever will take the time to dwell in the secret place of the Most High as the living child of God, his substance, his spirit, his very life, his very being, will discover that there is no energy crisis, that our needs are met as they always have been in advance. It truly is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And now is a wonderful opportunity to see that while around you, the world will experience an increasing degree of lack in the days to come, you will not be affected. As you stand in your spiritual identity, in fact, much of what the world experiences as a crisis to you will be a sign that you are under divine grace. The good of this circumstance will present itself to you. And it will be a sign of greater things to come. So that as in the days ahead, when there is an intensification of the shortages of the world, you will have learned by then that you are never in shortage when you are living in the kingdom of God consciously. And that is going to bring us now to something of a vast importance. We look at Zechariah in the 14th chapter, the 8th verse. And it shall be on that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter it shall be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name One. Now this statement by Zechariah about the two waters of life underlines the way of the world today and the way of the student of spirit. You walk in the water of life. The world walks in the water of death. You find that again in Jeremiah and Deuteronomy. Jeremiah 21:8. Let's find that. 21:8. Yes. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. The way of life and the way of death. And way back in Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Choose life. Now, it may sound most unusual, but the entire human race has chosen death. Man has chosen mortality. The Father has set before us immortality, and those who do not choose it have chosen mortality. In that mortality, we are separated. We have actually chosen to be dead. We have chosen a brief lifespan. And at the end of it, we lay down our forms. We join those who have died before us instead of those who have gone ahead to live, to dwell in the higher realm of reality. 4 billion persons on this earth, and most of them have chosen mortality. The firstborn of the dead put on the garment of immortality and said, follow me. You must learn how to walk through the world of atoms, not as an atom, but as the living Spirit of God. You must learn to walk through the world of shortages, knowing they are unreal, knowing they do not exist except in the atom itself. You must learn that atoms and shortages are one and the same, that atoms are not of God, that shortages are not ordained by the Father. You must learn that God fills all space. Where is that shortage if God fills all space? The shortage is in the belief in mortality. The belief in a life that is not the life of God. Do you see that the life of God is the only life? Do you see that there could be no shortage in the life of God? What life are you living if there is a shortage in your life? You have fallen into the trap of declaring that your life is not the life of God. You're in another life, a second life, a mortal life. The Father has set before you the choice. Choose my life, or choose another life. And 4 billion persons on the earth have chosen another life in which shortages are possible. The second life, the human life, is a life of hypnosis. It is a life that has no existence. Now face this. God did not create mortal beings. God did not create mortal beings. Which are you, mortal or immortal? God created no life beside the life of God. Which are you, the life of God or another life? Jesus learned that he was the life of God, and so he was the firstborn of the dead. The dead are those who believe there is another life beside the life of God, and they are living that other sense of life. We, in the infinite way, are living the life of God, letting it live us. Choose, therefore, the life, the immortal life, the only life, that both thou and thy seed may live, because there is no other life to live. And if you know anyone who is living another life than the life of God, you are looking at a dead person. If you are letting any child of yours live another life than the life of God, you are condemning them to deadness. You are malpracticing them. God did not create mortal lives. There is only one life. You are either in the deadness of mortality or you are in life. And you must make the choice now. In the next 3 years, the choice will be made for you. Now that is why the secret teaching begins at this point. Which is your life? God life or mortal life? The world thinks there are many. And so the world looks out and says, there's an individual and there's another one and there's a third one. And someone called me the other day and said, what about my individuality? There is no human individuality. There is divine individuality. But don't try to preserve your human individuality. You're preserving your human deadness. There's another part of the Bible that gave us a clue, but we didn't accept it. Elizabeth and Mary. Elizabeth was barren. She gave birth to a child, past the age when a woman can give birth, indicating that this was a child of God. Mary gave birth, and it was called a virgin birth. Again, without a husband, without a human husband. And this too was the child of God. Why were they both born without physical husbands? The first child did not become the Christ. The second child became the living Christ realized. The firstborn of the dead. John the Baptist, born of Elizabeth, was born into deadness, but without a human father to show us that there is a deity in man. This was to demonstrate God in man. Immortal life, but unrealized. The God seed buried in the human form, unnoticed, undeveloped. And then the God seed realized, developed by the illuminated consciousness of one who receives the divine consciousness. Mary opens to the divine, and this enables the birth of the first begotten of the Father, the firstborn of the dead. And these are called the two mothers of life, to show us that you must be born of the second mother. The first birth, like John the Baptist, the second birth of Mary. The natural man, the Christ man. The material man, and then the spiritual man. Mortal birth, and then the realization of immortality. Now you see, the birth of John the Baptist is the symbol of human incarnation into flesh. The birth of Jesus Christ is the symbol of resurrection from the dead. The death of the human selfhood is the birth of the divine selfhood. We have descended from God, we must ascend to God. We are not mortal creatures. We are not dead. We do not have to attain divinity. We will not become divine tomorrow. We are not sandwiched into a space between birth and death. And we are not trying to improve our lives. The life you wish to improve is not the immortal life of God. That is another trap. Trying to improve is the acceptance of a life that is not the perfect life of God. And so the two mothers of life are teaching us that now you are the living life of God. Now God is here as your life. Now the life of God is leading you to green pastures always. Now the life of God is grace. Now there is one life. Mortals look out and they see many lives. John, Mary, Fred, Harry, each is a different life. They are looking at division. You are accepting one immortal life, and your immortal life and my immortal life are the same immortal life. The firstborn of the dead has accepted oneself, one immortal life as the only life, and looking out among the world of human beings does not see individual lives, but rather sees one immortal life. Whereas those who are still among the dead look out and see 4 billion different human lives. You are being called upon to accept the one immortal life as the only life there is, and not 4 billion separated human lives. There are two great principles working on a cosmic level. There is the principle of division. That is represented by the birth into incarnation of every human being. And then there is the principle of unification. And that is represented by being begotten of the dead, rejecting the division as it appears to you. Rejecting individual lives and human individualities, and accepting that here within me now is the kingdom of God. It is the life of God. It is my life now. Here, now, is the life of God, and you are looking at it. And you are seeing human clothing where only the invisible spiritual life of God is, which you represent. The death of the human selfhood is the great acceptance of immortal life. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so if you decide to still be flesh and blood, you might just as well face the fact that for you the kingdom of heaven will remain a myth. Another symbol of the immortality of your life is the cross itself. The cross is always signified much more than the human mind has realized. It is, of course, the symbol of God immersed in matter, the soul buried in the universe of the mind. But you see, one bar shows mortality, and the upright bar shows immortality. One bar shows the visible world, and the upright bar shows the invisible universe. One shows the material world, and the other shows the spiritual universe. One shows time, and the upright shows eternity. One shows the finite, and the upright shows infinity. One shows the descent into multiplicity or into humanhood. The other shows the ascent into spiritual being. It is on this cross that we are united with God. But there are so many other signs. The breaking of the bread, when the Master says, "This is my body which is broken for you." Do you see there how one self is dramatized? The loaf is the one self. The bread is broken, passed among many. Just like the 12 baskets, the fragments that are gathered, the 12 disciples that are gathered. The fragments of the one loaf are gathered. There are not multiplicities. There are not separate human beings. They must all be gathered into one life, one loaf. Paul calls attention to that. In his first letter to the Corinthians, did he not say, "This is my body which is broken for you"? And then he himself later clarifies it. By one Spirit, we are all sanctified into one body, into one life. We are all members of one body, and Christ is the head. Now, ye are the body of Christ. We are all joint heirs with Christ. And again, this mortal must put on immortality. The longer you preserve your human identity, the longer you are denying God. It is only by dying to human identity that we accept the life of God. In Revelation 14:13, we have this statement, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth." Isn't that a strange statement? Blessed are the dead. "Yes, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." Their works do follow them. This is the statement of grace. As you rest from your labors, because you are blessed, dead to humanhood, resting from your labors, trusting in the presence of the Spirit of God, your works to follow you. Do you see then that as you turn from humanhood, accepting immortality, divine selfhood, you are placing your total trust in the nature of your being and your works to follow you? That brings you right back to one of the Beatitudes, Matthew. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." It's the same as this Revelation quote. Blessed are they that mourn, those who have accepted the deadness of humanhood, are accepting that they are the life of God. They're willing to put aside their human self. They are willing to be resurrected from dead humanhood. And if you remember in Acts, I think it's the 4th chapter, "And as they spoke unto the people," 1, 2, and 3, "as they spoke unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." The disciples of Jesus were teaching that you must be resurrected from the dead. This doesn't mean that they were teaching that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. They were teaching that you must be resurrected from the dead. And all this bothered the Sadducees. So they try to lay hands on them. teaching the resurrection from the dead. And this is what we're about. I was naked, says the Master, and ye clothed me. Christ in you was naked. Christ in you was not accepted. You were in human deadness. And then you said, no, I am not human. I am not dead. I am not mortal. I am the life of God. Christ was naked and you clothed him. And so the Master says to the disciples, I was naked and ye clothed me. They had accepted the Spirit of God as their being, as we must. There's something on that again in Revelation, the third chapter, 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Naked. The human race, without the knowledge of divine life as the only life, is naked. But blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Blessed is he who accepts divine life and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. As one who accepts divine life, you are no longer naked. You are like the woman later in Revelation who is arrayed in fine linen. She is the bride of the Lamb. You find her in 19, the 8th verse. Let us be glad and rejoice, it says in the 7th, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. What is that fine linen? I am the life of God, realized. I'm willing to live by it and trust it. I'm willing to put my life on the line to be that life. Now, I and the Father are one life. I am united with God. I am made whole. Every Bible miracle about the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the maimed, the impotent, the dead, these are all allegories to teach us that we are made whole when we have accepted divine life in our consciousness. Then we are the one living consciousness. In this world we suffer, but we suffer only from our division in consciousness. We suffer from the world karma. And the crises that occur in the world are nothing but a mirror of our divided consciousness. But we have the opportunity now to see God face to face as a very living substance of our own being. I want you to look at Isaiah 26. The 20th verse. I'll find it here in just a moment. Isaiah 26:20. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behind, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Now this punishment spoken here is the world karma of division, of separation from the life of God. I think Isaiah said it even better in his long-suffering servant. We see that in chapter 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, you know, the world thinks that this is a story about Jesus Christ. Listen carefully and you will realize that is not what it is. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is the story of man rejecting the Christ. This is the story of the entire human race. Mankind on the cross. Mankind unaware of divine life. This is the story of the suffering that mankind goes through in his rejection of the truth that the only life that exists is the life of God. We are seeing that in the world today, and there is an indication that we are going to see it in the world in an increasing magnitude. It is the purpose of this class to see that whosoever is ready to accept divine life can walk through the cataclysms of this world. In our study of the infinite way, we never pause to accept the finite as a possibility. We never dishonor God. We never insult God by accepting the possibility of limitation of any kind. The world is doing that. The world is placing itself on the cross of matter. The student of the infinite way is placing himself on the cross of spirit. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers, dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. This vision of the suffering servant is Isaiah's story about the karma of the world. Mankind, disfigured, the human race unaware of divine life, the soul of man shut up in the darkness of matter. But there is an ultimate triumph. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. How shall we follow this? We too must put ourselves upon the cross. That same cross in which we cross out the false sense of mortality. There was a Christian mystic who said, and I think I remember it, though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born, but not within thyself, thy soul shall be forlorn. The cross on Golgotha thou lookest to in vain, unless within thyself it be set up again. Jesus Christ was the new man. Those who are not the new man are the you man who is dead. We are called not to be the you man, but the new man, to step out of dead form. We are called upon to see that all who live in form are dead, that we are under a dead government of dead persons. We must awake from deadness. We must die to deadness. And we must learn to restrain the false dead self that wants to live its life as us. The suffering servant that we follow is he who through Christ was reborn. Now let's look at this energy crisis from the standpoint of Christ. In the world of atoms, there is no God. God is not running the world of atoms. It is being run by man. God is unlimited grace. God is unlimited energy. God is unlimited life. God is the only cause, the only power. God is not with mortals made of atoms. My kingdom is not of this world of atoms. Every crisis, every shortage, every limitation, every catastrophe you will experience is in the world of atoms. Do not walk in it. Place yourself upon the cross, one with God. The life of God living itself invisible to human eyes. Not a separated life, not one life among many lives, but born of the second mother. God created no mortal being. To know God aright, to know life eternal, you cannot be a mortal being. Otherwise, you live in duality, in separation, in the two powers of good and evil, and you are an insult to God rather than one who glorifies the Father. And so now, with me, let yourself remove the sense of mortality. Rest back easily. Do not let your life exist in the form. Do not let your life exist in time. Do not let your life exist in the human mind. Do not let your life be confined or limited in any way. Find now that life which is not confined to your form, which is not confined to your concept, which is not confined to your thinking mind. Find that life which is the life of God, not mortal, but immortal, not finite, but infinite, not in time, but eternal. Unite your consciousness with the consciousness of God. There is a consciousness which is infinite, which cannot be influenced by any event in this world. Unite with that consciousness. Be one with that consciousness. Let that consciousness be your consciousness. Accept it. Rest in it. Know its presence is the kingdom of God within you now. Here is God. Right where you are is the consciousness of God. It is your individual, immortal consciousness here and now. Please accept it. I accept the consciousness of God. It is my only consciousness. But God is not conscious of an energy shortage. I therefore cannot be conscious of an energy shortage. God is not conscious of sickness. I, therefore, cannot be conscious of sickness. God is not conscious of evil. I cannot be conscious of evil. God doesn't know an Arab. God doesn't know an Israelite. God doesn't know a black or a white. I am that invisible consciousness of God, and I can only know what God knows. What God does not know, I cannot know, or else I would be in a divided consciousness. I am putting my old consciousness on the cross, and it will suffer. It will suffer so much, but I will suffer it to be so. I must go through the suffering servant routine. I must suffer. I must suffer because my consciousness will not die easily. And I must be prepared to watch it put up a fight. But I am going to cross it out. I am dying to the mortal consciousness. And in the days ahead, I will continue to die to the mortal consciousness. I will die to that mortal consciousness until it no longer exists, until there is only one consciousness here. That consciousness which is here now as the consciousness of God must be the only consciousness where you stand. Whatever it does not know, you cannot know, or you are divided. How important is this? It is the difference between being dead or alive. This is the stone of Israel, which the builders rejected. This is the stone made without hands. This is the Christ consciousness, which says, here is the consciousness of God and no other. Remember that whatever comes into your experience that is unknown to God cannot be known to you, or you are divided. And division is the same as death. To see Him face to face, you must be living, not dead. Immortal, not mortal. Divine life, not human life. You must be begotten by the Father, by the infinite consciousness united. And when you find that consciousness, which is the Father's consciousness in you, be willing to stand and look out at the world, knowing it can never influence that consciousness of God. It will say to you, I am sick, and you will say, the consciousness of God knows no sickness. That is my consciousness. It will complain to you. It will criticize. It will condemn. And every time it does, you must face it and know, the consciousness of God has no complaint, no judgments, no criticism, no condemnation. I cannot divide myself from that consciousness. I cannot condemn. I must say to the world, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I must say to the world, be thou whole. Be thou one. Thou art the invisible Christ as I am. I must face the Arab and the Jew, the black and the white, the male and the female, all who come into my radius of vision, and I must discover God in their midst. I must see God in everyone and everything. Why? Because immortal life does that, and there is no other. Immortal life is your name, and you must be looking at immortal life everywhere you go. You must see God face to face everywhere you go. This is what Paul called the treasure in earthen vessels. You must see that treasure in every earthen vessel that comes to your attention. The mortal world for you must die, that the immortal world, which is the only world, be born as your living consciousness. And that is the answer to the question, what is the meaning of Jesus Christ was the firstborn of the dead? We too are born of the dead as we mount the cross of matter, and we are united with the Spirit of God within our very own being. Everywhere you look is one invisible divine life, one self. No multiplicities, no good and evil, no two powers. Take everyone into the birth of the second mother. Everyone. Every condition, every circumstance. And then trust that life to be expressing its perfect self in spite of what you see. More to follow. Let's take a little breather now, and we'll be back in a few moments.